Good afternoon. It's good to be out here. A little bit earlier, Jody came up to me and said, well, we're saving the best for last. And so I said, so I guess you're talking about those speaking Sunday. But certainly I'm glad to have the opportunity to come out here and speak to you. As he mentioned, my name is Rainey Webb. I'm from McMinnville, Tennessee. Went to the Mount Leo congregation. Currently, the preacher there, Trent Key, went through the school, and he kind of introduced the school to me, and I'm certainly thankful he did, because I've enjoyed my time here studying. And just over this past week, we've been gone out into Kentucky, Virginia, and a little bit into Pennsylvania. I've enjoyed the trip, but being from Tennessee, a Tennessee boy, I'm certainly glad to be back in my home state, and so it'll be good to get to speak to you this afternoon. And so if you would, I'd like to turn to Revelation chapter 10. That'll be where the lesson will be from this afternoon. And so as we look through the book of Revelation, and a lot of this has kind of been mentioned somewhat briefly, we see this book full of incredible imagery. Just so much of it spread throughout the entire book. And there are numerous types of images used to describe what John was seeing and this vision that he was seeing in order to relay it to us. And one of the images that we see from him is found in Revelation chapter 10, and there's some unique imagery used there as well. And so I would like to focus specifically on this image of the little book and John devouring it. And so also, I would like to see some points from this and how this book and the imagery we see here, how it can be applied to us and how it can be useful for us today. And so, first of all, we need to think, what is the purpose of this image? Let's read Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues and kings." And so there again, first of all, let's think about what is the purpose of this image. And we'll see through other examples that the main idea of this image, this book, is representing God's Word. And John is devouring it and preparing himself to be able to take God's Word and spread it and be able to prophesy as if you read Revelation, what he does throughout the rest of this book and prophesying what that word is and also the things that he saw. And so in this passage, the angel tells John to eat the little book. And there are two descriptions given about this book, and these will be the two that we really focus on today. First of all, the book is described as sweet as honey in the mouth. And so when John ate of the book, it was good. It was sweet to him. The image that I think of would be picturing your favorite dessert and just how much you enjoy that and how sweet that is to you. Likewise, the book, God's Word, is sweet to John whenever he devours it. And then secondly, the book is then described as making the stomach bitter, and which we understand, you know, it probably upset his stomach. I guess that would be the way to look at it. Or maybe even kind of this bad aftertaste. You picture drinking a diet cold drink, and you might like the taste initially, but then it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth after that. And so this idea of it being sweet and it being bitter, it's fascinating to see just how drastic of a change is mentioned about the book. And so some of us may wonder, well, why is the book described in such a drastic way, changing from being sweet, being something we would look to as good, but then being bitter, you know, something not very pleasant. And so when we first take the message of God, it is sweet to us. Whenever we receive it, it's something that is sweet to us. However, when we go out to carry God's word and bring it to others, many people will refuse the message, thus kind of making it bitter to us and making their response bitter. And so with this understanding of the positive nature and the negative response that we receive whenever we're dealing with the word and dealing with God's word, we can see similar ideas throughout Scripture that can kind of help us understand this idea of the book being sweet but also being bitter. One of the places we see a very similar theme, a very similar discussion utilized, is in Ezekiel chapter 2. In this section of Scripture, I'll kind of give an overview of this chapter for time's sake, but in this section of Scripture, Ezekiel is told to devour the scroll that is given to him. As he receives that scroll, he is told to eat it, very similar to what we read about John and this book. And the purpose of this scroll, as it states in those the end of chapter 2 and on through the beginning of chapter 3, but the purpose of this scroll was to go and speak the words of God to the house of Israel, to inform them of all the where they have gone away from God's word, and try and instruct them back to God's word, instruct them back toward God. And so initially, as it says, the scroll is sweet to Ezekiel. When he first eats of this scroll, it is something that is pleasant to us. Likewise, whenever we first come to understanding God's word and we access God's word and apply it to our lives, it's sweet to us. When we truly accept God's word, it's something that we value and it tastes good to us. However, sometimes problems arise very similar to the problems that Ezekiel would face. In verse 7 of chapter 3, God informs Ezekiel that the people won't listen to you. Even though God gave him these words, gave him this direct command of what to do and what to tell the people, and even though this message was coming directly from God, the people, as God told Ezekiel, they wouldn't receive this message. And so even though he received it directly from God, it didn't matter to the people. The people weren't concerned about it, and it just, at this point, they were pretty far gone. And so they also had the words to access themselves. They had God's word. They had the law of Moses and all of these different ways in which to access God's word, and yet they refused to access it. Not only that, but they refused to listen to Ezekiel whenever he was trying to bring the message from God's word to them and teach them about it. And so when Ezekiel tried to spread God's message, they refused to listen to him, and they shut him out and wouldn't accept anything. And so from this, we can see the bitterness in Ezekiel, and this created this bitterness in Ezekiel, very similar to the bitterness that John would receive, as mentioned in Revelation chapter 10. And so once again, we get this idea of when people refuse to accept God's word, there's a bitterness to that. And we see this, a very similar idea also in another one of the prophets when we look at Jeremiah, specifically looking in Jeremiah chapter 15. Many of us, we know that Jeremiah, again, was a very faithful prophet, a faithful worker for the Lord, and willing to go out and spread God's word and teach others and spread these prophecies. And in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, Jeremiah states that he ate God's word and that it was a joy to him. And so, though using different words, it's very similar to this same idea of the book or the scroll. It was God's word, and when he ate it, it was joyous. It made him happy. It was very pleasurable to him to have God's word. And so once again, we see another example of God's word being sweet once it's devoured. However, in the same chapter, Jeremiah discusses some struggles. Because when we immediately hear that, we might think that this is a joyous passage of Scripture from Jeremiah. However, the overall part of Jeremiah 15 is kind of a lament from Jeremiah. He's in pain because he goes on to say that even though he has devoured God's Word. He has lived God's Word, and he has avoided the presence of sin and being amongst evil. He has suffering constant pain from the people. He is perpetually in pain. And he's wondering if the Lord is ever going to ease his pain. He's wondering if at any point in time will his suffering be ended because of the pain that he's going through. And so there in Jeremiah's life, we see that even though the word is good, there was a bitterness caused in his life. And so, again, we see all this and we might be thinking, wow, this is sounding pretty negative. However, I think, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but there is a positive message that God gives to Jeremiah in that same chapter. In verses 19 through 21, he basically tells him that, I will help you through this. I'll be with you during these difficult times. And even though you'll be going through a lot of struggles, I'll be there to help you through whatever it is you may need. And so the question then becomes, what can we take away from this? What can we grab from the sweetness and the bitterness of the book? And so first of all, I want to focus specifically on God's Word being sweet. God's Word is good for us and sweet to the taste. When we embrace God's Word and embrace God's will for us, and therefore in like manner we are embracing God, we have access to a peace which surpasses all understanding, which we get from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, a peace that no one else in this world can see, no one else in this world can grasp. There's nothing else that can provide us with that peace. As I mentioned, those in this world, they don't have access to it. But us, as Christians, as followers of God and followers of His Word, we have access to that peace. And that's a very positive message. That's something very sweet for us. And so when we understand this, we can see the sweetness of God's Word. Another area is God's Word makes us whole. It completes us. If you spend time looking through the book of Ecclesiastes, which here over the past several weeks I've had the opportunity through a couple of different classes to really examine the book of Ecclesiastes, and you look at the life of Solomon, he discusses early on through a lot of it from an earthly standpoint, everything in this life is vain. He states that it doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world or if you're poor. When you look at things from an earthly standpoint, the end result's the same. You leave this earth and you die. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you've gained as much wealth as possible or not. Likewise, he states that as the wisest person in the world, he states, well, whether I'm wise or whether I'm foolish, or it doesn't matter. Because when we look at the perspective of it just being under the sun, the results are the same. It's just death and it's vanity. And so from that perspective, there's a lot of negativity. However, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon provides a message of positivity, which he's kind of sprinkled throughout his book. But he says, for us to be complete, for us to be whole, we need to fear God and keep His commandments. So he says that fearing God and keeping God's Word is the only thing that completes us. The only thing that truly makes us whole is having God's Word. And so, if we look to God's Word and feed off of it, we will find that which completes us. And so this is such a positive message that comes from looking at God's Word. And we can definitely from that see the sweetness of it. However, we understand from a Christian perspective that a lot of times things aren't always so simple. And a lot of times we run into a lot of difficulties. And therefore, we kind of get into this idea of the bitterness of God's Word. And so I want to spend some time discussing that and the bitterness of the Word in the stomach. While we can see the joy and the peace that comes from God's Word, many others fail to see that same peace. As I've mentioned before, when they don't have God's Word, they don't have that peace. And there are a lot of people that choose not to have God's Word and choose to avoid it. They don't have any reverence for God's Word, and they don't have any reverence for what it states or how it applies to their lives. And so therefore, they wind up looking at it negatively, and they look at the people who try and spread God's word from a negative perspective. Many of you who have done evangelistic work, you may know the pain of this. When you're going out trying to speak to someone, and they may slam the door right in your face. There's a sense where that bothers you. You may brush it off and move on, as we should, but there's a bitterness there whenever someone refuses God's word. Or one thing that I think is probably even worse than that, even more painful, is whenever you are studying with someone, you spend time in a deep study with someone, and then they come to the conclusion, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. You feel like you're so close with them and almost helping them see God's word and bringing them to the truth, and yet they don't get there. They refuse to reach it. And so there's a deep pain we feel from that and a bitterness whenever we do that kind of work. And so anyone, like I said, anyone who's looked, they've seen that pain. Not only that, but as we've looking at Ezekiel and looking at Jeremiah, many of the prophets, they felt that same pain. Their charge was to go out and teach the people of Israel and bring them back to God and bring them out of that life of sin. However, many times they refused to listen. They continued to turn from those prophets sometimes persecuting, taking the lives of these men. They punished these men for speaking God's word. Not only that, but we even look at the life of Jesus. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, and God and man in one being. And he was on this earth proclaiming his message and proclaiming the Father's message. And the people still refused it. And they even went to the point of crucifying him for speaking this message. And so, even Christ, at the message that he spoke, brought him pain, brought him suffering, and brought him death. And so, not only that, but also when we look at the book of Revelation, one of the main ideas in Revelation is that these Christians in this book are being persecuted. Throughout the Bible, there are those who are on the side of evil and oppose God's will that will take it out on Christians, take it out on his people, and cause them to suffer. And so, while the word is sweet, while it is good for us, it is what we need. There is also a result of bitterness because of people who refuse to follow God's word and therefore may slam the door in your face or persecute you in some other way. And so now, after looking at all of that, we need to ask ourselves, well, what does this mean for us? What can we really take from this idea of devouring this book and it being sweet and bitter? When we look to God's word, that's where we find true peace and happiness. We are completed from the teaching of God's word. Many of you know this. And so we need to keep that in mind and remember that we need to continue our study in God's word. We must never get away from studying God's word, because that's where our true peace is found, and that's where we are truly happy. If we have the right mind and we are where we need to be in studying God's word, it's sweet to us. It makes us happy to be able to dwell in God's word and then be able to spread his message to others. There is a very sweet idea behind that. However, when we choose to devote our lives to God and his word, we face many challenges. While a lot of the persecution we face today may not be at the same level as what we see throughout the Bible, we're blessed, as Jesse mentioned in his prayer earlier today, we're blessed to live in a country that we don't have to feel that same persecution that what these men felt. However, there is a sense where we do face some type of persecution. As I mentioned before, whether it be getting a door slammed in our face or people mocking us or refusing to listen to the truth, we still face that today. And so, because of this, we might have to feel this bitterness to the stomach because of those who refuse to accept God's word. However, even with this, there's still hope. And I wanted to get back to this idea. As God mentioned to Jeremiah, and we saw this earlier, I will be with you through this. While the people may not accept your message, and while you may continue to deal with persecution, I'll be with you through all of it. And that message still is true for us today. One of the key verses about that, as we see in Revelation, many of us know the passage, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says, "Remain faithful until death, and you will receive a crown of life." If we can remain faithful, if we can continue to press toward the goal and stick to God's Word, even though there are times where it will be bitter for us and there will be times where we will be in a lot of pain and suffering for spreading it, in the end, there is ultimately peace in God's Word. And so let's look to continue to remain faithful, even when we are faced with this bitterness. Let's continue to devour the sweetness of God's Word and focus on God's Word. Maybe there's some of you here this afternoon who have yet to fully accept God's Word. You've yet to put on Christ in baptism and be washed for the remission of your sins. And you know what that entails. You know the commitment you're making of putting on Christ and making that commitment of, I will follow Christ the rest of my life. Maybe there's some of you who have yet to make that commitment and you're ready to put on Christ in baptism. We would be happy to do that here today. And also, maybe there's some of you here who may be struggling. The bitterness of spreading God's Word and dealing with people, maybe it's become too much for you to bear at this point, and you need the prayers of the congregation. There are many brothers and sisters here for you and here to offer you support. Just recently, when we were on the trip up through Kentucky, there was one point where a tree had fallen and blocked the road. It wasn't a fairly large one, but it was still a pretty good size. It was one where if one person were to go and try to lift that tree off the road, you couldn't move it. But when all of us on that bus, got out there to move the tree off the road, it was light. It was very easy to lift that tree and move it off the road. It's very similar to our burdens today. When we try and take on our burdens and deal with them on our own, they become too much for us to bear. But whenever we look to Christ and whenever we look to our fellow brothers and sisters, we can bear those burdens. And so if any of you need to be baptized, or if you just need the prayers of the congregation, please let it be made known as we stand and sing.